Good evening, everybody. Before we start our public comment session tonight, just want to recognize that today is National Peace Offers Memorial Day. And I consider our Marine Patrol peace officers, and I like to thank them for their service, what they do for all of us. And let's give them a good round of applause. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I am Rob Bizzle, Chairman of the North Carolina Marine Fisheries Commission, and would like to welcome you to our public comment session where you have a unique opportunity to, on the record, give comment or ask questions in regard to the Marine Fisheries Commission's management of the state's public trust, estuarine, and marine resources. I ask you to limit your comments and questions to 3 minutes. I will tap on the table like this when you have approximately 30 seconds left. Please direct any comments and questions to me, and I will refer them to the appropriate commissioner or staff member if needed. If you address the commission tonight, you will not be allowed to do so tomorrow morning. Remember, this is a time to share a concern or gather information, not to be confrontational. I will not allow our conducting the business of the state to be disrupted by outbursts or applause from the audience. If you do so, you will be escorted from the meeting and not allowed to return during this quarterly meeting. Consider this the one and only warning about this type of behavior. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to call somebody up and tell who is next on the list so you'll be prepared to come on up and we can be pretty efficient about what we're doing here. First off is Glenn Skinner, followed by Stuart Crichton. Glenn?
I'm Glenn Skinner, Executive Director of North Carolina Fisheries Association. I appreciate y'all letting us speak. First thing, the NCFA, as many of you know, opposes Amendment 2. I want to be clear, we don't oppose amending the Southern Flounder Fishery Management Plan. We understand there's a problem that needs to be addressed. We just oppose the process that's been used. This fast-track process hasn't allowed for hardly any public input. The Southern Flounder AC hasn't done anything on this. They weren't allowed to explore any of their own options. They were handed one option that could vote on it or not. It's really, this is a supplement. You're doing a supplemental measure. This will only stay in place, Amendment 2, until Amendment 3 is adopted. In statute, that's what a supplement is. As many of you know, a supplement is forbidden in the settlement agreement that we signed with the Marine Fisheries Commission. I don't know if our board will choose to pursue that or not, but they have come out and officially opposed Amendment 2 as we view it as a supplemental measure. Beyond that, our biggest concern is that we are harvesting mostly females from this stock. We don't see anything in these seasonal closures that will stop that. We believe the spawning stock needs to be protected, these larger females. We've talked to the division many times about slot limits, and like I say, we recognize a reduction needs to be made, and it will be significant, but we were hoping to have a little more input in the process and have the public and the Flounder AC have some more input, and we would like to, in the future, address the problem that we're fishing off of almost 100% females on this stock. So, just like y'all to consider that in your deliberations, and we're having a board meeting next Monday. We'll be taking our position on the issues, and we'll bring it to you at your following meeting. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Glenn. Okay, Stuart Crichton, followed by John Robbins.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Stuart Crichton. I'm a recreational fisherman from Oriental, North Carolina, and I appreciate the chance to speak with all of you this evening. Commissioners, during this session this week, you are scheduled to vote on a draft amendment that will be the first step in reversing 30 years of mismanagement. For that amount of time, this commission and this division have had the data that clearly shows that southern flounder is overfished and that overfishing continues to occur. Yet for 30 years, you have instead chosen to find ways to ignore and refute the alarming trend in your own data and do little more than protect the status quo. Yes, the MFC voted restrictions in 2015, but unfortunately, everything of significance was lost in arbitration. So now, here we stand again. The data has not changed. If anything, it has only gotten worse, and our southern flounder stock continues to be in grave shape. In order to begin rebuilding the stocks, drastic measures must be taken, and taken now, if we are to protect what we have left. I have seen the division's recommendation of a 62% reduction in harvest this year, followed by a 72% reduction in 2020 through the use of short seasons to manage the fishery in the interim until the next amendment can be approved. As a temporary management measure, I can support the division's proposal as long as we incorporate sustainable measures of harvest in the future. I would suggest the following moving forward for Amendment 3. For the recreational fishery, first, ban the use of recreational gill nets. Next, require the use of circle hooks for anyone fishing with live or cut bait to reduce discard mortality on released fish. Third, incorporate a slot of 14 to 20 inches and a krill limit of 2 fish per person. On the commercial side, I would suggest banning the use of gill nets while allowing gigging and pound netting to continue, as the latter two are clean methods of harvest. Incorporate a strict quota with paybacks for the commercial season. And finally, disallow the practice of spearing as a means of releasing fish from pound nets. I would also ask the division and MFC to take a proactive approach for managing speckled trout as we move forward. With the striper closure and the reductions to the flounder harvest, the effort on trout from both user groups will be impressive. I suggest, again, the use of circle hooks for live or cut bait, the same krill limits on the wreck fishery with a slot of 14 to 22 inches, and again removing gill nets and replacing that with a commercial hook and line fishery with the same limits on them as currently exist.
Time.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
I'm going to turn this thing off.
Way above my pay grade, yeah. Okay, thank you, Stuart. John Robbins, followed by David Sneed.
Good evening. My name is John Robbins. I come from Dare County, actually Roanoke Island, just outside Wanchese. I come today to speak specifically about the Oyster Lease Program and issues as an individual I've experienced with the Oyster Lease Program. First off, I'm in favor of oyster leases. I want people to recognize, with all the restrictions being placed on fisheries and things of that, the benefit of the oyster farms and the benefit that the oysters do provide. However, the process is flawed when it comes to the leases. I own a development on Hatteras Island. It consists of about 124 lots. It's about 40 lots on the shoreline. It is a developed shoreline. However, a lease is located, this is a map produced by Division of Marine Fisheries. The lease is located 80 feet from my property, from the developed shoreline. With that stated, the regulations state the lease area must not be closer than 100 feet to a developed shoreline, except no minimum setback is required when the area to be leased borders the applicant's property or the property of riparian owners who have provided permit, who consented to a notarized statement. The applicant doesn't own any property there. We haven't consented to his use. And again, I'm not asking for him not to have that ability to farm oysters there, and it's not NIMBYism, not in my backyard. I just don't want him right outside my doorstep. He should be able to go a couple hundred yards offshore. And the reason that this area is unsuitable, and I'm just jumping around, because the area is already heavily used by recreational uses. Principally, it's used by kiteboarders. And there's great economic input that it puts on Hatteras Island. Kiteboarders come from all over the U.S., all over the world to kiteboard there. Many of the people that are purchasing lots there have said, John, we don't want to purchase any more lots because of this issue, because of the impact that these 75 feet off the shoreline right at the end of our docks what the negative impact. I spoke before the Board of Commissioners, Dare County Board of Commissioners. They unanimously passed a resolution, which I'll leave with you tonight, against this oyster lease. And again, they reinstate their want for oyster farming. And with that, they said, and I'll close up, they said, the commissioners request the Division of Marine Fisheries to deny the oyster application filed by X because of its close proximity to a shoreline that is incompatible with the pre-existing identified public use, which would threaten public safety and have an adverse impact on Dare County's economy. Again, everyone wants them to coexist, but it can't coexist in this conflict. With this said, I understand y'all aren't making the final decision. It rests with the director, but I wish that y'all would look at staff, because Christine Goebel has recognized that it shouldn't have been issued in that manner. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
I'm going to leave this all here. I dove through here. I'll provide the resolution, a letter I wrote, and the maps that Division of Marine Fisheries handed out at the meeting.
Okay. Yes, sir. Go ahead and Doug, you want a question?
Is this an existing lease in place or is it a proposed
lease? It's a proposed lease. Okay. But I just need an expedited decision on it. They say it could last several months. Right now, people have put their houses on hold. They're not buying property. And if it goes on for several months, it's more of a detrimental effect to me and the people who are investing in property there.
Okay. Well,
thank you. And who would you like me to give this to?
Ms. Fish, right here. Yes. Okay. Thank you, John. David.
If there's no more conversation, go back to Manio.
Go back to Manio.
Thank you.
I'll
carry you.
Before he leaves, I will say that there is a new shellfish legislation that is under consideration at the General Assembly that would address some of these concerns, and perhaps the director will address that at some point. But anyway, thank you for the opportunity, Mr. Chairman, to speak. My name is David Sneed, and I'm the executive director of the Coastal Conservation Association of North Carolina. I have two written comments which I'm sharing with you today. The first one addresses our concerns with the current stock status of southern flounder. The most recent coastwide stock assessment determined that the stock is overfished and overfishing is occurring, and DMF staff has stated that reductions in removals are necessary to end overfishing within 2 years and recover the stock from an overfished state within 10 years. North Carolina general statutes mandate that fishery management plans shall specify a time period not to exceed 2 years from the date of adoption of the plan to end overfishing, and will specify a time period not to exceed 10 years from the date of adoption of the plan for achieving sustainable harvest. Yet the North Carolina Marine Fisheries Commission has never met this statutory requirement for ending overfishing of southern flounder in the 20-plus year existence of the Fisheries Reform Act. Sadly, our state statutes do not contain any accountability measures for failing to meet the 2-year time frame, and thus there are no consequences for failing to properly manage this important public trust resource. Now, the reality of these DMF recommendations for Amendment 2 are the consequences of the past sins of previous commissions. We support the division recommendations for reductions in both recreation and commercial harvest to recover southern flounder, not simply stop overfishing. We also support the division recommendations to consider additional trip limits and reduce fishing times. We want to thank the division and the staff and the division staff and the Southern Flounder Advisory Committee for all their hard work on this project. The second handout addresses Senate Bill 554, which is a proposed marine fisheries reform bill. I would be curious, Mr. Chairman, how many of the current commission are even familiar with Senate Bill 554, and further would be curious as to how many were consulted by the division or the department for their input before these reforms were proposed. I suspect that there was not a lot of input from this group. We were invited to be a part of a so-called stakeholders meeting that was in reality a PowerPoint presentation of the DEQ proposed legislation. None of our suggestions for legislative reform were considered or included in Senate Bill 554. Those recommendations are summarized in the handout I have provided. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, David. Has everybody had a chance to address the commission that cares to? If so, we're adjourned to 9 o'clock in the morning. Thank you.